Welcome to the Nehemiah Entrepreneurship Community Podcast. I'm your host, Patrice Sage, and I'm here with my good friend now. She's here for the second time in a row this year, Dr. Shalette Stewart. Dr. Stewart, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me again. It's a delight to be back. Thank you so much.
Yes, it's a pleasure. Thanks for coming back. Well, today, as you got those of you who watched and or saw the prior podcast that we had with Dr. Shalette, where she helped us to deal with how to address COVID-19 from a Harvard Business School perspective. As you guys know, she's on the faculty with Harvard University, and among other things, I'm going to have her share a bit about, you know, what she does. She share her story. But so we had her give us kind of a Harvard perspective, looking at Harvard University, and she took some of that from the Producer Business Journal, as a very famous Harvard University Business Journal, that gives best practices for business and many things. And she's inspiring, trying to give us some perspective on that. If you have not watched that podcast, you can go back to our archives, pull that podcast up, and just, you know, it's titled COVID-19 from a Harvard Business Perspective. And so because she had written a book called Revelation in Business, and so we wanted to have her come back just to focus on the book and to really deal with. So what we're going to do today, we're going to kind of give a perspective of, so if you watch the entire hour, you're going to get a nice overview of the book, what you can expect from the book. We're going to take each major segment and kind of have her break it down for us, what you can expect. And then what we'll do in the end, we're going to ask her the closing question, which is, okay, now, Doc, having gone over this book, if I buy this book, what are some things I can draw from it to help me in this time of crisis? Because the world, wherever you are around the world, we are facing a global pandemic. And all of us as entrepreneurs, no matter how good your business, no matter how well you've done in the past years, we're having to pivot, we're having to adjust, we're having to play offense, a defense in some cases. Not all of us have, some of us are playing offense, but many of us are playing defense. So how, we're going to help her. What are some things I can draw from this book to help me in this moment of crisis? Before we get there, though, we're going to cover the book. So before we do, however, I want Doc to give us a sense. She has an amazing testimony where, you know, she went from church girl to corporate to Harvard University, and now is a business coach and lecturer and speaker and on the Harvard Business School faculty. So, Doc, could you give us a sense of your story, your journey, how you went from being this young church girl to accomplishing all of that, and how that brought you into the heart center of God calling for your life?
Absolutely. You know, just like you, Patrice, I am just another one of his vessels for his magnificent work. And so I was born and raised in Dayton, Ohio. I grew up in a Christian household, grew up in my uncle's church. So I was always ingrained with Christian principles. My brother and I had parents who really espoused the importance of higher education. And so I pursued higher education, attained a doctorate degree in business. And later, when I joined Harvard Business School, I decided to get a degree from Harvard. And so graduated last May with a second master's degree, a postdoctorate degree. So I love school. I love learning. Most of my background has been serving as a business practitioner and academician. As a practitioner in terms of serving in leadership roles in strategic planning and marketing with Fortune 100 companies, and also owning and operating my own business, Stewart Consulting LLC. And so during this time, we're getting engagements from a number of companies and nonprofits who do, as you mentioned earlier, need to pivot. So we develop business plans for companies and nonprofits, strategic plans to help them not just pivot, but thrive during these unprecedented times. And I'm blessed to serve as a keynote speaker around the world, and I speak on authentic Christian leadership principles. So my testimony has really been following the leading of the Holy Spirit and honoring the seasons that God has taken me through and continues to take me through. And so I encourage the audience today, regardless of what's going on in the external world, focus on what he has called you to do internally. Focus on your purpose.
Ah, amen. Well said. Doc, you mentioned about you being a speaker. You recently had a major speaking engagement, Asia, but you did virtually. Tell us a bit about that and how that happened in the COVID moment. You would have been there physically had it not been for COVID, am I right?
The Asia speaking engagement, I was actually there a few months ago. It's the India speaking engagement that we had to pivot, Patrice, into a virtual one. So the organization is the Women Economic Forum. So that'll be later this month. And it's a wonderful organization, global organization of women-owned businesses. And so I'll be speaking on July the 25th at 10:45 a.m. Eastern time on how to connect your profession and purpose to drive business results. And so it's a topic, Patrice, that really resonates with business owners and operators all over the world. But we did have to pivot, and we are conducting it via virtual leadership platforms and technology, and I'm sure it'll be very well produced. So I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. That is neat. My mother, as a global entrepreneur, she was part of the International Global Women Business Association out of Italy. She actually was a president of the association for two terms. And so there's a lot of women entrepreneurship going around the globe, and many even countries where women are treated more like second class citizens. There are many women entrepreneurs because in those cultures, women tend to be the economic engine, particularly for small entrepreneurs, and many of them rise to prominence.
Absolutely. You know, we as women are the life givers in terms of the population. And so so many leaders around the world have reinforced the concept of when you support women, you truly do support the world in terms of giving life, speaking into the lives of new generations, and of course, economically speaking. So it's definitely important to support women leaders all over the world.
Well, we're talking to Dr. Shalette Stewart. She wrote a book called Revelation in Business. And we're going to really give you a good overview of the book from the author herself. And we're going to close by helping you to understand how to use this book as a tool for crisis management, given that around the globe that all of us are determining how to pivot and how to address the COVID, this extended, you know, because until a cure is found, we're going to be in this season of unknown, and we have to know how to address it. Doc, before we get into the book, now, many Christian, you addressed this in the last part. Again, if you've not watched Dr. or listened to Dr. Stewart's last podcast, you want to do that, go to our archive, go to nehemiahecommunity.com and just do a search, and there you'll find her last podcast. She addressed COVID-19 from a Harvard business framework, and kind of just helped us to give us some best practices as to how her and her colleagues at Harvard would look at it. But that many Christians are listening or watching, maybe wondering whether or not there's an alignment between Harvard and Christianity, right? And I want to address that. You addressed it in the last podcast, just in case others have not watched it. I want to address that here before we get into it. You know, you are a church girl, a theologian. You study scripture, and you're very open about your faith. You wrote a book around business and faith, but yet you are a faculty member, part of the Harvard Business School, and a contributor to the Harvard Business Review. So tell us how those two mix, because some of us may not think it does. So could you help us with that?
Yes. So fortunately, I'm so fortunate and blessed to serve in a leadership role with Harvard Business School. But when we step back and think about it, Patrice, Harvard University is the first university established in the United States. And so it's our first university, and it's our oldest university. And it was actually established with a Christian worldview, mission, and vision. And like so many other Ivy League organizations and universities. So it was vetted in Christianity when it was established. Now, granted, it's changed over the decades, but it's very important for us to understand and appreciate, as God's ambassadors in the workplace and in the marketplace, that we are all on assignment. And so our assignment is oftentimes and most times outside of the four walls of a church. And so at Harvard, our motto is Veritas, which is truth. And you and I both know that truth is God. It's God's word. That's the ultimate truth. And so I would just encourage the audience, wherever you serve, wherever he has you on assignment, just know that you are salt and light in that organization. You are there for a reason. Just as if I serve at Harvard, and I've served at the Coca-Cola company and Bell South, AT&T, you're on assignment. So continue to lift up the word of God in a way that's appropriate. You know, the term, speak the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. And so leverage that when you need to.
Oh, I love, what an answer. As a matter of fact, Doc, Harvard was my inspiration when the Lord gave me biblical entrepreneurship, and I was grappling with it. Am I crazy? Have I truly heard from God? As I did my research, that's when I discovered about Harvard's early beginning and the fact that Harvard's business school was written on scripture. And that really hooked me. And so that became the external validation to help me build the courage to blend business and the Bible, to know if this great school called Harvard began there, then that means that it's about it. I truly did hear from God. I'm not crazy. So she's absolutely right. And so you guys have heard me talk about that. Now you hear from a member of the Harvard Business School team who's validating it here with you today. And I love the point you make about the importance of us being witnesses for Christ, no matter where we are. Sometimes as Christian, we have this attitude. Somehow we're looking for a Christian environment, if it's not church, close to it. But the problem is, that is not fulfilling the Great Commission. We are called to be in the world, but not of it. So thank you so much for that. It does take preparation, it does take study, it does take a lot of discipline, and it does take a grace upon your life to do that. Doc, let's get to the book. So first of all, what was the inspiration behind the book?
During my tenure in corporate America, I was in a leadership role with a wonderful company, Patrice. And I started feeling a sense of dis-ease, disconnected, disengaged, dissatisfied. And I knew that the Lord was leading me into a new season, but I just wasn't sure what it was. So I started looking for resources to help me during the time. So I found all these books to help you identify your purpose and your calling, and all these books on how to develop a solid career plan or a business plan, but very few books that integrated the two topics in a very practical, pragmatic way of how do you connect your profession with your purpose, your career with your calling. So that was the start of the process. And so the Lord really just embedded within me Revelations in Business. The overarching scripture is Proverbs 29, 18, where there's no vision or revelation, the people perish. And so the whole book is really about the importance of really understanding God's vision, his mission for your business, for your career, and then planning everything accordingly based on his plan. You know, Proverbs 16:3 says that when we commit our plans to the Lord, they will succeed. So it's really about starting first with God.
Oh, I love it. Again, I'm here with Dr. Shalette Stewart, entrepreneur, business coach, consultant, speaker, and of course, a member of the business of the team at Harvard Business School. She wrote a book called Revelations in Business, where we're going to talk about it. Stick around because you're going to hear some tip about the book so that you can be able to know how that book can empower you. And in the end, that will give a bonus to say, how now do we manage this crisis with this book? Mike Cross, I see you. This is great stuff, my friend. Mike is an entrepreneur who's gone through big entrepreneurship, built a business here in Portland, Oregon. He's blended a mission with business and building affordable housing around the city and helping families that are underprivileged. And Mike, we're going to have you in the podcast to talk more about that. Again, if you're watching and you want to be a part of the discussion, share your comments and questions for Dr. Stewart. She'll answer them for you. So, Doc, how did they get access to the book? Somebody's watching and listening right now. They want to purchase this book. Where did they go?
Yes. So the book, Revelations in Business, Connecting Your Business Plan with God's Purpose and Plan for Your Life, is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine books are sold.
Awesome. All right. So about that, you broke this book up into different sections. And what I'm going to do now, I'm going to go over kind of just share its sections. And you're going to just help explain to the audience what they can expect from that section. So the first section you start with is like a great consultant the Divine Executive Summary, right? And many of us have heard of Executive Summary, but she talks about the Divine Executive Summary. So if I'm reading the book, what can I expect from that section? And what's the difference between that and the traditional Executive Summary?
Good question. So I would say first, I want everyone to understand that Revelations in Business takes the template of a strategic business plan. So each chapter includes biblical principles, practical tools, and real life examples. So each chapter is dedicated to a key element of a business plan. And typically a business plan will begin with an executive summary. And so I believe that this whole practical, pragmatic approach, but the biblical principles has resonated with so many folks. The book has been endorsed by Dan Cathy, who is the chairman and CEO of Chick-fil-A, as well as a number of other leaders. And it's also received a couple of Christian literary awards. And I think it's because of the flow and the insights in the book. So the first chapter is the Divine Executive Summary. So we start off talking about, well, what does the Word of God say about Executive Summary? What is that from a godly standpoint? And so our Executive Summary, our overarching purpose is, if you will, is to glorify God. So I share insights on what does Executive Summary mean from a godly standpoint? What does the Word of God say? So we must always know that we are on assignment for God, and we have an assignment, which is to glorify God. And the way that we do that takes on a number of different formats. So that's the biblical aspect. And then we turn to the very practical, pragmatic aspect of how do you develop an executive summary for your business, for your nonprofit, for your ministry. And so typically an executive summary would be one or two pages, and it's a high level overview of your business plan. So it's for those readers of your plan who will not read the entire plan. They just want a high level overview. And that is what an executive summary would include.
I love it. And for those in business, those who's raised capital, or those in consulting coaches, you know that the most powerful thing on your business plan is the executive summary. It will determine whether they're going to keep reading or they're going to put it away.
Right. Absolutely. And I highly recommend that you develop your executive summary after you've gone through and written every element of your business plan, because every element will be much more clearer to you, and you'll be better positioned to develop a solid executive summary after you've written the entire plan.
Ah, awesome. Well, again, we're talking to Dr. Shalette Stewart. She's an author of a book titled Revelation in Business. And to get that, copy of that book, you can go to Amazon or wherever you say fine books
are sold.
Mm-hmm. Wherever fine books are sold. If questions or comments for her, please point it out. We'll make sure we'll bring it to the conversation as we have her for the 40 minutes as we try to address each aspect of this book. Doc, so you move from the Divine Executive Summary, and then you go to what you call the divine mission and vision. Of course, you shared earlier that this book is really about aligning our mission and vision to rooting into God's purpose and plan. So what is this section about, divine mission and vision?
Yes. So this chapter on the divine mission and vision starts out again in the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about mission and vision? So in Habakkuk 2:2, the Word of God says to write the vision and make it plain so that all who hear it can run with it. And so we are vetted in the biblical principles. And then I go through a number of scriptures. And then we turn to, what does this mean for you as a business owner and operator? How do you develop a clear, concise, succinct mission and vision statement for your company and for yourself as a leader? When I'm teaching, I just spoke and taught a class earlier today for a group of CEOs in Texas. And I encourage them to identify their mission and vision as a leader, as a Christian leader first, and then connect that with the mission and the vision for their companies. And so I would encourage the audience today to give thought to that as well. So again, this chapter will provide insights on what does the Word of God say about mission and vision, and then how do you develop the mission and vision statement for your company or for your nonprofit?
Oh, that is good stuff. Mike Cross says, I need that book. Mike, I agree with you, my friend. It will supplement, complement what you learned in the book on entrepreneurship. By the way, could somebody go to Amazon and just grab the link for this book and just put it here on the resource page here so that our friends who are watching and listening can just make it easy. We like to make things easier for our people so that way they can just click the link and access it. And by the way, I bought the ebook version. So those who are out of the United States, if you don't want to wait for however long to get it, you can get the ebook, or you can get the physical book a version of it. And I love ebooks, so both of them are good. Oh, Cassandra said, I like how she presented those principles. Cassandra, have you read the book or are you speaking from today? Let us know if you've read the book. That is good. Again, if you have questions or comments, please shoot them out. We want to bring you into the conversation as we talk to Dr. Shelley Stewart about revelation in business. So that, so you go from the divine mission statement, which is so critically important because essentially, if you don't have a clear mission, then you're going nowhere very, very fast, right? You get in trouble. Then on the next section, you address the divine situation analysis. Tell us about that.
Yes. So the situation analysis section of a business plan is where you share your research. Sometimes it's called a market assessment, market analysis, situation analysis. This is all about the research. This is where you make your case for investors or for that foundation grant on the business case for your venture. And so in this chapter, we go through what does the word of God say about research? You know, God, there's so many examples of when God has sent people into a new land, a new season, a new opportunity, and asked them to scout the land. I'm thinking about back in Numbers when the Lord sent Moses into the land, and Moses instructed some of the others to go, and then he said, you know, there are giants in this land. Well, that was a situation analysis. They were going through and they were looking and scouting out the land and the market beforehand, and they provided a report back to Moses. So business schools will have you to think that, oh, they came up with situation analysis and market assessments. Everything truly is in the Bible. Everything has emanated from the Bible. So we talk about the biblical aspects of research, and then we talk about the importance of actually conducting research. So I go through and share insights around what's the difference between primary versus secondary research. How do you incorporate that into your business plan in a very practical, pragmatic way? But what I would like for the audience to keep in mind, especially for Christian business leaders, is that secondary research, primary research, all important, but it's all secondary. God truly is the primary. And so keep in mind to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He is our source. Everything else is our resource when we think about God.
Wow. That is good stuff. Doc, you and I think we're caught from the same cloth.
Two
different mamas because
kindred spirits. We are.
I mean, I'm telling you, we got to do something with you. We got to figure that out. We got to figure that out. You're going to be people around our people because this is good stuff. So Cassandra says that she just long known, she hadn't read the book, but she heard you speak on writing the vision from the book of Habakkuk and how did you apply to business vision. And then she says, someone has to see the obstacles that and stay focused on the big picture. That's right, Cassandra. We did put their guys on the those on Facebook. We put their how to get the book, and we have the link for the ebook. But you can also get the physical copy book. I'm an ebook guy, but my daughter is a physical book guy. She likes the paper, right? If you like her, then they can also access this. Sheree Gaines says so good. Sheree, I totally agree with you. So good. Well. So Doc, I mean, I love, it's funny because the analogy you use, many times as Christian, we read scripture, but we don't make a natural application of it. We're not like Jews, right? For the Jews, the Torah was a life application framework. It was not just a religious book. It was how they lived. But somehow we Gentiles are a little different, right? We look at it for Sunday application for rituals. But we don't look at it as precept, pattern, example that God has given us that we might be able to live out life. And so what you did there, you took, Marcarista is right there. He makes it so clear and so specific. So why do you think, by the way, team, Cassandra says she doesn't see the book link. So could you please somebody help Cassandra to get the book link? Again, if you want to get the book Resurrection Business, it's on Amazon. Cassandra, you can even go to Amazon, just search and you'll find it, but we'll make it easier for you. So that's why is it that for many, you know, Christian, it's funny, the more charismatic they are, the more difficult this is. What's the struggle? Why can't they make that leap?
Yeah, I think sometimes it's for a number of reasons. I think oftentimes in Christianity, the whole notion, the approach of going to church and worshiping can almost become rote and habit and it's just something that's done on Sundays, and that it does a disservice to the Word of God. It does a disservice to us as ambassadors. There's so much more work that needs to be done throughout the week besides just on Sunday. And so part of my calling is to help leaders, in particular Christian business leaders, to understand that business is in fact ministry and should be treated as such. So I think part of the challenge, Patrice, is this whole notion of looking at the commercial marketplace as ministry, looking at entrepreneurial ventures as ministry, and really taking a thoughtful approach and being strategic in terms of incorporating our Christian values. And so that's why you are here, Patrice, and Nehemiah Project. You all do a phenomenal job of supporting Christian leaders in doing that. That's why I'm here and so many others. Again, it's important to honor the assignment because, to your point, so many folks are struggling with this.
Oh, wow. That is incredible. Dak, what I also love about you, because here's the reality. I didn't go to Harvard. I didn't even finish college. And so a lot of what I teach, inspired by scripture, through scripture and practical business experience from my family, as well as my own experience and from clients. But having somebody like yourself, who have earned her degrees, right? I mean, you got both practical knowledge, but you also have the academic, helps to validate, because unfortunately, right, here's the truth. Many of our people need that validation. They need to know that somebody from Harvard said it, and that becomes gospel. It's unfortunate, but that's the truth. But let me ask you a question. But many Christians, the higher up they go in degree, in academics, and somehow lose that biblical truth. It's almost this notion that the dumber you are academically, the more spiritual you ought to be or are, and the smarter you are academically, the less spiritual. But you kind of have managed both. What was your secret? What was the key for you?
You know, the way you describe that is so eloquent, and it's right on target, and it's so unfortunate. And so for those audience members who are out there, I would encourage you, if you're in academia, leadership in academia, corporate America, stand your ground in a way that honors God, but also honors your employer. You know, again, the Bible says that we should honor those who are in authority over us. And so there are ways and strategies that you can still share your Christianity, even without quoting Bible scriptures. It's exemplifying Christ in the marketplace. It's being a person of your word, being responsive, having integrity, having an ethical approach to business. But for me, Patrice, it was a calling. There's no way that I could ascend corporate America or ascend the Ivy League and not bring God with me. It's part of my calling. And so I've chosen to honor that calling. And so I would encourage the audience to honor their calling. We all have different assignments, but what we find is the case, what you just described, is when we don't honor our calling and actually ascend to those leadership roles without God, usually it's a short-term role, and usually your anointing is not there because you haven't brought him with you. And so that's a scary place to be. So I would never want to be in a role, leadership role or not, without the anointing of God. So I encourage the audience to, wherever you go, wherever he takes you, make sure that you're still vetted in the word of God.
Ah, well said. Amen. Doc, I just got it. So you're going to speak for us next year in Nehemiah. We're going to figure out how to make it happen.
Oh, yes, Absolutely. I would love to. I would love to.
Because our theme next year is going to be on crisis management. And I think you're going to bring out to the table now. It's going to be Mexico City. And if we're still quarantined, then we'll do it virtually.
Let's do it.
I mean, this is good stuff. Yeah. Now, then the next section, you get into divine marketing and sales. So tell us about that. What can we expect from that section?
Yes, it's interesting because we've all, for the most part, heard of the typical four P's of marketing: price, product, place, and promotion. And so in the chapter on the divine marketing plan, I was actually sharing with some CEOs yesterday on the topic of what I introduced in this chapter, which is the fifth P of marketing, and that is your platform. At the end of the day, what is it that you stand for as a Christian leader? And so we know in the United States, this is a presidential election year. So there's a lot of discussion around platforms, but typically it's within the context of a political platform. In Revelations in Business, in the chapter on the divine marketing plan, I encourage the reader to focus on their kingdom platform. So what is it that you stand for that's kingdom centric, and how do you exemplify that in your leadership behavior and also within your business? And so it's really taken a very intentional, thoughtful approach to marketing, but we as Christian business leaders must take marketing to a higher level. So it's not just about marketing and advertising and putting our brands and logos everywhere. It's for a higher purpose. Again, our purpose is to bring others into the kingdom. So it's for eternal purpose. And so in that chapter, I really encourage the reader to take their marketing endeavors to a higher level and to think about the legacy, their legacy as a leader and the legacy of their company.
Wow, I love it. You know, that is so true. Many Christian have a disdain for marketing and particularly for sales, right? Because the perception of that is manipulation, is trickery, is overpromise, underdeliver. But you almost, in your book, redeem marketing, right? And you give a framework for how to redeem it. Could you go a little bit deeper?
So, Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So I talk in the book about how fishing is marketing. You know, they're very synonymous in a lot of ways. Both involve casting out a line or a hook or a slogan and with a promise and reeling them in. And really, for us, it's reeling them into the kingdom. So again, we have the Great Commission, go and make disciples of everyone, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the commission. That's marketing. We are his ambassadors in the marketplace and in the workplace. And then Jesus is saying, come and follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Marketing is fishing. We have to have a higher perspective. So take marketing to a higher level and know that it's so much more important than just the marketing of your products and services. It's for kingdom purposes. Remember, wow, we're stewards over his businesses. They're not even our enterprises. They're his businesses. So we're stewards over his businesses.
Amen. Again, we're talking to Dr. Shalette Stewart about her book, Revelation in Business. And this book really helps, as she's sharing here, about really how to walk your business out, how to create your business plan from scripture, and how to walk it out in every aspect of business in a very redemptive way. I like the tagline that she said, which is aligning. Could you say that tagline again? Aligning to your purpose. Could you?
Yes. So the tagline is connecting your business plan with God's purpose and plan for your life.
I love it. Connecting your business plan. You know, all of us, church, we've learned that God has a plan for us, right? Jeremiah declares it. You know, I know the thoughts that I have, says the Lord, not of hope. That's, but the question becomes, many of us are entrepreneurs, how we brought those two together. And that's what she attempts to do for us. So we're going to figure out how to get Dr. Shalette. I haven't yet gotten the speaker lined up. She'll be one of the first speaker lined up for 2021, Nehemiah. We have to deal with crisis, how to thrive amidst a crisis. But as she was talking about marketing, those of you who have not yet registered for Nehemiah Week this year, 2020, August the 10th through the 15th. Michael Pink, who many of you guys know, or is kind of the, from a biblical perspective, one of the nation's leading sales and marketing guy. Michael Pink will be with us at Nehemiah Week this year. good friend. By the way, Michael Ping will be here on the podcast in the next couple of weeks, and Michael's going to really talk about his whole sales strategy. So if you want to learn more about how to really market from God and sell, particularly from God's perspective, join us at Nehemiah Week 2020 this year. You can go to our website, it's right there, register for it so you can be a part. At the end of this podcast, we're going to tell you more about it so you can join us. But we're going to have Dr. Stewart in 2021 next year as she helps us to deal with crisis management.
Thank you. I would be so delighted.
Oh, that would be fun. Is it? I just, I could talk with them all day long. You sing. I mean, you just, I'm like, wow. I would sit at your feet, Doc, and just ask but listen.
Thank you.
I love it. Hey, if you are enjoying this like I am, unless you just kind of shout an amen. Just post up amen right there. Cherie says, I'm excited to read her book. Cherie, I agree with you. Cherie, this is just good stuff. I mean, she's from our tribe.
Yeah.
Now we just adapted her. Well, Doc, you then go into divine operational plan. Mm-hmm. So tell us about that. That's a function of business that many entrepreneurs struggle to grab. They get marketing, but operations, one of those things that is essential that entrepreneurs sometimes struggle to grab. Tell us about that.
Yes. So in the chapter on the divine operations plan, I share insights on how to operate in the business world without being of the business world. So what does that mean? What does the word of God say? So it's a lot of principles in terms of integrity, excellence, having a spirit of excellence, and really taking a godly approach to business. And believe it or not, Patrice, on so many of the very important critical aspects of business, so many of us are failing. Just simple items like responding to customers' calls in a timely manner, or making sure that your employees are kept apprised of your plans and where you'd like to take the business so that they can be engaged in the process, or aligning with the right strategic partners and being equally yoked with your partners. You know, we tend to think of being equally yoked in terms of a marriage, but it's also important in terms of business partnerships. So how do you make sure that you're equally yoked with suppliers, equally yoked with strategic partners? So it's all about operating in the business world without being of the business world. And so it's about exemplifying Christ, having integrity, operating with a spirit of excellence.
Wow. I love it. Doc, as you know, as I do, that unfortunately many the term Christian business is not often synonymous with excellence. As a matter of fact, it's synonymous with mediocrity. You know, I grew up in a black neighborhood, and we used to kind of think that, unfortunately, things that said black business was perceived as mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I grew into a businessman in a cross-cultural, cross-racial environment, I said, wait a minute. It's not just a perception that we have in the black community. In the Christian community, black or white, there's that. I was shocked. So why is that? Because I think this idea of operational excellence is so critical. And it's actually even the most important thing, because if how can we be witnesses without reflecting that? Why do you think this idea for Christians is this so?
And we can't. We cannot be effective witnesses for Christ if we're operating in a mediocre manner. We're defeating the testimony. We're defeating our service as ambassadors. So that's why you are called. That's why I am called, to encourage others to take it to a higher level. Literally, I just had this conversation with a group of Christian CEOs that I was teaching this week. And one specifically said that when he sees the fish symbol, like on an email signature, and that indicates that that company is Christian, he doesn't even do business with them, because he's a Christian. Because of that reputation, that means that there's work for you and I and everyone within the sound of my voice to do. We have to counteract the negative connotations associated with Christian businesses. And so that's what I'm encouraging everyone to do. That's why you have the Nehemiah Project platform. That's why I have Revelations in Business. We have to do better. We have to truly take business to a higher level. And that's higher with a capital H, a godly level. We have to have a spirit of excellence, not perfection, but a spirit of excellence. And so I am encouraging everyone to really take it higher, to a higher level. Otherwise, it does a disservice to the kingdom. It really does. It's not just about you and your brand and your company, but it's about kingdom purpose. So it's very unfortunate. What you described is absolutely true. We just have to do better. And I believe that we will.
Amen. I believe that we will. I do as well. Wow, this is good stuff. Cherise says, equally yoked with your partnership is so important. That is so key. I love how you all tied it to equally yoked with vendors.
Yes.
Think about that aspect of it. Then, Doc, then go into divine management and organizational plan. Tell us about that section.
Yes. So this chapter on the divine management and organization plan is really all about your human resources. It's your intellectual capital that you have within your organization or within your company. It's about you as a leader as well. So one of the principles that I reinforce is to understand that wherever you are within an organization, you are on divine assignment. And so you are truly reporting to God. It's not your manager. It's not your board of directors. It's not your strategic partner. You are accountable to God. You are on assignment. And so there's a level of accountability and responsibility with that. But also there's a level of empowerment, because if you are honoring God in the season that he has you in, no one can take that season. No one can take that job, that account away from you, that company away from you, because he's in control. So I encourage the audience to honor your assignment wherever you are in the organization. It's all about upward influence and also downward influence. So for those of you who are seasoned executives, of course, you have the influence on the broader organization. But I want to encourage those younger folks who are just starting their career, just know that you are on assignment as well, and you can just as effectively influence the higher ups if you are on a God-ordained assignment. So it's about changing the perspective, being transformed in our mindset.
I love it. Again, we're talking to Dr. Shalette Stewart on the book Revelations in Business, as she unveils to us the interlock between scripture and business, particularly using the framework of a business plan. To get the book, go to Amazon.com, and there you can find the book, as well as most of the bookstores around where you are. They have an ebook version as well as a physical book. And Doctor, we're going to try to get her to one of our speakers at Nehemiah Week in 2021 as we deal with crisis management. But for now, you can enjoy here on the podcast and, of course, get her book and follow her on the social media platform to see where she's speaking so you can get more of this stuff. Doc, as you talk about the importance of people, I think of Jim Collins. You know, before I read Jim Collins' book years ago, I always put strategy and planning before people, right? So have a good plan and then ride the right people. And I first read his book, I said, John, no, that's not true. You can't have the people first and then the plan. And then as I thought about what he shared, and over time, as you know, you read something, you challenge it, and then you go on. And then one day God speaks to you, or you're teaching or speaking and something. So I realized something, that if you're going to a long journey, and along the way you get lost, and if you have the right people in the car, in the plane, wherever with you, no matter how lost you are, you can still have a good time.
Yes.
But if you have the wrong people with you, it could be a miserable trip, even if you never get lost. Yeah. And that shifted my mindset. And so I became a proponent of this whole idea of people first. And so you're really helping us in this section to really enjoy how to create a kind of culture and environment to attract and retain the right and good people to propel the vision forward.
Exactly. I'll be speaking for an organization called Convene on July the 30th. And because of COVID-19, that's going to be virtually as well. But the topic that I'm speaking on is how to create a divine culture. And it really addresses a lot of what you're alluding to, Patrice, around putting people first. And what does that look like in today's world? What does that look like from a Christian standpoint? It's very important. It lends itself to, again, your own assignment. So God has you on assignment. You are accountable for his flock. What does that look like for you? What has he called you to do specifically, and honoring that?
I love it. I love Doc. And then you get into divine financial plan. That is my last section.
Yeah. So I share so many examples of different companies throughout Revelations in Business. And in the divine financial plan, one of the principles that I encourage the audience today, and I encourage the readers to think of is, as business leaders, we're so focused on our financial plan. It's all about P&L statements and profitability. And profitability is so important. If we're not profitable, we will not be in business long. But I encourage us, again, to take it to a higher level. Have a prosperity plan, not just a financial plan, but prosperity is so much more important than profitability, because prosperity is an umbrella concept that includes profitability, but it includes so much more. It includes profitability, talented employees, health, wellness, loyal customers and clients, loyal suppliers. You want to pursue prosperity, not just profitability. Profitability is just one aspect. So that's one of the principles that I reinforced in the chapter on the divine financial plan. Have a prosperity plan for your business. One company that I highlight a number of Christian companies as well as secular organizations, secular companies that have still a spirit of excellence. And Sony Pictures, they've had some challenges in the past few years, but one aspect they did right was they took a full evaluation of their employee base to find out, you know, what's stressing their employees out? What do we need to do better? And they found that they needed to put up some protocols around email, that people did not have to respond to email all times of the day. They decided to put in more nutritional food in their cafeteria. They incorporated a new workout facility on their headquarters campus. And so they were looking at the overarching prosperity of their employees, mental, physical, emotional. And that ended up resulting in bottom line profitability. So their insurance premiums went down because their employees were not as stressed out. They were healthier. So I share that example to share that, you know, these are just small items that you can incorporate today that will have an impact on your bottom line. But it's so much more important because you're looking holistically at your organization.
I love it. You know, and the Doc is getting to the whole idea of a quadruple bottom line. That's another language of putting it. You know, I'm looking at how does, because many times you look at a single line profitability. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that my people are impacted by it. How do I make sure the community or the planet environment? And then for a kingdom entrepreneur, how do I make sure that the kingdom, or I address the spiritual aspect of it? That is good. Doc, I noticed that you do something that's very, very famous. It is very Harvard famous trait, which is case studies. You know, we use a lot of real life stories to try to illustrate the point and so forth. You know, that's so important. So it's not just a book of a whole lot of scriptures and verses, but it's also a book of illustration of how these have worked in companies and so forth throughout the book. And that's a powerful technique that you guys have perfected at Harvard University.
Thank you. So yes, in the Revelations in Business, I keep it, you know, practical so that it resonates with folks in different industries. So we, of course, talk about Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby. We talk about Forever 21 retail stores, In-N-Out Burger, how they're incorporating Christianity into their practices. We talk about Disney and how their spirit of excellence around just attention to detail is like bar none. So there are a lot of different companies highlighted in Revelations in Business.
I love it. Cherie says, yes, prosperity plan. I love it. I do too, Cherie. We coming on. If you have questions or comments for Dr. Stewart, please share those. That she's talking about Revelation in Business and a book that is really helps again to unlock between business and scripture in terms of a business planning process, your calling, God's purpose for your life. Then you get to the final, the finale, which is a divine exit plan. Tell us about that.
Yes. So, you know, Patrice, I have the honor of serving as the 2020 commencement speaker for Judson University. And so it was scheduled for back in May, but we had to postpone it because of the pandemic. So now it's rescheduled for September the 19th, and we're hoping to be able to honor that. But I'll be sharing some insights at the Judson University commencement ceremony around the importance of the Divine Exit Plan. And it really does have to do with your legacy. And so in this chapter, I encourage the reader, just as I encourage the audience today, to think about your legacy. You know, on a tombstone, there's the proverbial dash. There's the date of birth, and then there's a dash and the date of death. So the challenge becomes, how are you living your dash? How are you being of service to others wherever you are in the workplace and in the marketplace? How are you working for the greater good and for kingdom purpose? So it's really about leaving a positive, lasting legacy in your family, in your community, and in the world.
Ooh, I love it. I mean, and isn't that what it's all about? I mean, at the end of the day, why would a man profit if he gains the whole world and lose the most valuable, which is his soul?
Oh, right.
So, Doc, In a few minutes, now wrap it up for us. So you gave us kind of good stuff in the book, one, and now get the book. But how will this book help me deal with this pandemic and the uncertainty today? In the U.S., we have both an economic and social uncertainty and political uncertainty. I mean, right? Globally, they have the economic uncertainty and the pandemic. So what are some things that I can draw from this book to kind of help me manage the current crisis?
Good question. Well, the foundation for the book, again, is all about connecting your business plans with God's purpose and plan for your life. So I would encourage the audience and the readers of Revelations in Business to use this time, this global time that we're dealing with, a pandemic, economic decline, civil unrest in the United States. There's a lot going on. This is a time for us to pause and go deeper in prayer and hear from God in terms of what his plans are. And so from a business perspective, as you're reading Revelations in Business and you're maybe developing your business plan or updating it, he will reveal what he desires for you to do during these unprecedented times. So for example, when you're praying, some of us will be given insights that, you know, he's doing an Isaiah 43:19. He's doing something new, and it's time to pivot. It's time to develop a new business model and follow God. For others, we may receive confirmation of Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And so stay the course is the direction that he's giving you. But the key is to follow him. And so Revelations in Business helps you follow him in a very practical, pragmatic way. But let me encourage the audience today that regardless of the direction that he gives you, just know that it will be a Romans 8:28 experience. Truly, all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose and plan.
Doc, I had to say this. You did like Michael Jordan. You dunked it.
Yes.
Wow. Doc, thank you so much. It's a blessing to have you. We look forward, those of you who are biblical entrepreneurs in our audience, those of you who you're going to see Dr. Shailesh Stewart in live and living color next year, hopefully in Mexico, if not virtually, at Nehemiah Week 2021. As she talks about helping us navigate crisis. But for now, go to Amazon, get her book. For now, go watch the last podcast that she did on COVID-19. For now, follow her on social media as you get inspiration from her in dealing with whatever you're dealing with in business from a biblical perspective. No more. She just closed it well. Doc, thank you so much. We're going to have you back.
Thank you so much, Patrice. Thank you for all that you do for the kingdom, all that Nehemiah Project does. You truly are enhancing the lives of others. So thank you for having me. Thank you for all that you do. And I look forward to sharing insights at the conference. God bless you.
God bless you. Let's do it. Now, guys, hey, listen, don't you leave yet. You're about to see a video. Before you do, though, let me leave you this word. By the way, before I pray for you, if you want more information about Nehemiah Project, you want to know how you can connect with us so that we can partner with you through training, coaching, Access to Capital, and be a part of this global community where we can together transform the world. Go to our website, nehemiahecommunity.com, nehemiahecommunity.com. But I do want to invite you to an event. August 10th to the 15th, we have Nehemiah Week 2020. It's going to be a digital event. We're going to have speakers from all over the world who are going to be addressing how to help you and your business with your strategy in this time of crisis. To do that, go to nehemiahweek.com, nehemiahweek.com. There's still a slot for you. If you're not convinced of that, hopefully this video about to watch will convince you. But before you do, though, let me leave you this word. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord enable you to steward your talents, the things he placed under your care, to do it in such a way that you may one day hear those wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now he'll make you ruler over much." God bless you. Don't you leave. By the way, Mike Cross asked the question, the book title, Mike, the title is this, Revelation in Business. Revelation Business by Dr. Shalette Stewart. Doc, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right.
God bless you.
Nehemiah Week is an annual event designed to equip entrepreneurs and leaders from around the world to inspire and to honor marketplace leaders for their accomplishments and what they're doing to model Christ in the marketplace.
God is doing incredible things at Nehemiah Week.
Ladies and gentlemen, God has called us to be a light for him, to be an example for him, to be a model for him so that as others see us, not hear us, but see us, they can see a model of Christ.
Yeah, each year at Nehemiah Week, we gather the nations.
Our vision is to transform the marketplace with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, one entrepreneur at a time.
We have learned to do business in a good way. I will actually spread this to our church as well.
Through the course of Nehemiah Week includes information around principles of biblical entrepreneurship, so really looking at biblical economics.
What we've learned this week is about training. Our Nehemiah project is about training and then coaching and then accessing capital.
Nehemiah gave me God's vision. Really impacts the way that I see doing business.
Nehemiah Week not only gives birth to new ideas, it connects us with resources and relationships that makes them possible.
But what we want to do is not just affect here in the U.S., we want to take this curriculum all over the world.
Whatever it is, the question is, what impact will this have on others?
It's something that's going to change lives. So I'm ready to use whatever I have for the benefit of the kingdom of God.
I believe that the nations are going to shake because of this week. Biblical entrepreneurship takes a stand to say we are going to be witnesses for Jesus Christ in the marketplace.